The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. This is my little buddy Kelly Bidlin, everybody, right next to me. Producer number nine. So much more than a producer. A little child wave right there. Very nice. That's very good.
Hey, guys.
Hey, guys. It's Kelly.
Come here.
Still to come this hour, Dr. Bob joins us this time of year, man. Conference tournaments in college hoops. Ben Wilson, college hoops and college baseball. See if he has any college baseball futures from us. And Wes Reynolds standing by to talk golf and college hoops with us.
Can I clarify one thing? Because I don't think I made it clear when we were talking to players earlier. I will be looking to make a bet as soon as it is posted here in Las Vegas. It is posted in other states. Michael Kim, top 20. I know I kind of said it in the tweet that was asked about, but no, Michael Kim, the way he's flushing his irons right now, I'll be right back on him for a top 20 bet.
Does it drive you crazy that those markets are not available yet in Vegas?
Yeah, I just keep refreshing MGM, and I know they're going to be the first. It's not even a shout. I'm not even calling you out, MGM. You're going to be first. That's why I keep refreshing you.
MGM the first with quarters in men's tennis, too.
Yep. Yeah, it will be. It will be Stations or MGM today, and that was same with your tennis, right?
Yep. One tweet, JoeC714. I 1,000% agree with you, Gil. Indian Wells, absolutely the best fan experience in North America. So a billionaire made this his passion project? Yes, sign me up. Larry Ellison, the billionaire that he's referring to, owns Indian Wells Tennis Tournament.
Oh, by the way, what did you do with that Pagula ball? Did you give it to a kid? Did you take it home?
No, because it's I first of all, I gave it to Deborah.
Ah, smooth move.
And she gave it right back to me, so I haven't known.
Someone sent me the video of Gil ripping it out of a kid's hands. I'm sure that he's like, get out of here, kids. No.
By the way, that is the move, because there was some random San Francisco Giant once hit a foul ball that had only had eyes for me, but the baseball, like, barehanded, I didn't have a glove, didn't catch it. It bounced off the brick wall, and I had to scoop it off the ground as 3 9-year-olds were coming at it. And the only move is to give it to your girl at that point, because otherwise,
can't. Yeah. What's the all right? So Jessica Pegula is worth how much estimated? We're gonna say
$7.5 billion.
Okay, so then a tennis ball of hers has to be worth a lot, right? Like a million.
I don't think it works that way. I wish it did. I don't think it works that way. Wes Reynolds joins us, everybody. Part of the glue that holds this whole operation together. You can follow him on Twitter at WesReynolds1. That's the number one golf writer, co-host of Long Shots, which he does with our own Kelly Bidlin and Matt Brown weekly. How you doing, Wes? Good morning.
I'm doing well, Gil. I'm becoming a smaller and smaller piece of the glue day by day, but we're still hanging in there.
Oh, Donnie, you're the L in Elmer's. That's how I look at it.
L in Elmer's.
I don't know.
What about the E?
I wish it was a different letter than L. I didn't mean that, but you know what I mean. Wes, okay, before we get to the TPC, Russell Henley, did you see that coming?
It was possible. He wasn't on my card. I've had some PTSD with Russell Henley. I've been close with him a couple times and just hadn't gotten there for me. He's won on the PGA Tour before. He's certainly a known commodity, but, you know, I knew it was possible, and he's very good at putting on Bermuda, but I did not expect him to win at Bay Hill. That is the biggest win of his career at the Arnold Palmer. And, you know, feel for the Morikawa backers, because it seemed like he was much the right guy over the weekend. And then Henley holes out from the fairway, and then that was pretty much all she wrote. So, you know, big win for Russell Henley, though, and certainly a capable player that's always been kind of that good player, but has never been, you know, an elite company. I think this is now the first time that he's officially in the top 10 in the world golf rankings. And we know with the world golf rankings, with, you know, some of the guys playing on LIV, that the ranking system is kind of a little bit disjointed at this point. But now Russell Henley, for the first time in his career, is a top 10 player in the world.
Yeah, Wes, you know, him and Morikawa both with all the top 10s last year, and him finally breaking through and getting a win after it being about a year and a half since he had one on tour. You and I haven't talked about this in a while on Long Shots, but we always talk about win equity and how much of these guys that you know, just kind of hover around that top 20 range seemingly all the time, how many can go out and win? I don't know about you. Henley winning yesterday makes it even almost tougher for me to figure out exactly where he's at, because he's proven he's a top 15, top 20 golfer out there on tour for sure. But trying to figure out when his wins come has become really tough.
Yeah, look, it's been since November 2022 in Mexico where he last won. And he's had some gaps in his career. He's always kind of been really consistent, but just doesn't get at home as much as you think that he should. I remember having him, actually. Like I said, I had some of my PTSD with him when I had him against Matsuyama in the playoff at the 2022 Sony Open, where he was much the best of it the entire week and doesn't get at home. So certain guys, you know, there's a lot of randomness and there's a lot of variance involved where you have certain guys that just kind of get on the right side of the breaks and certain guys that don't get on the right side, and usually that's Russell Henley.
Wes, I mentioned earlier that the Masters, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, but this is my recollection of it, the Masters, Augusta, the most course correlation in terms of what you can expect from performance from certain golfers from year to year. I believe we call it course factor. Whereas the TPC, the Tournament Players Championship, or the Players Championship, pardon me, has the least.
Yep.
Does this, I mean, that would then lead to the conclusion that it's very difficult to predict from year to year. Have you found that to be the case?
It is, Gil, and you know, I've won this a couple times over the years, but I'm just opening up my grid here, and save for the fact that Scottie Scheffler has won back-to-back years
going
here
for a three-peat
at TPC Sawgrass. If you look at the 2 years before, 55th and missed cut. Even, I mean, we're looking at the top end here. You don't have guys that just have consistent form where it's like, okay, top 10, top 20, top 5, top 20, top, where they always make the cut. Even Rory McIlroy, the last 4 years here, 19th last year, missed cut the year before, 33rd the year before, missed cut the year before, won it in 2019, the last one before COVID. Xander Schauffele, second last year, 19th the year before, and then missed the cut three straight times here. Matsuyama, a few missed cuts. I'm just going up and down my grid. Justin Thomas, a former winner here in 2021. Since then, 33rd, 60th, and missed cut. So you don't have those consistent form lines here. I think maybe there's a handful of players in this field that have always made the cut, but they've always been in like 30th or 40th. So yeah, if you're going on course form, this is one of the least predictive ones on the PGA Tour.
Silly question. Is that just because there's so much water?
A lot of it is. A lot of it is in fact that water factor, and just, you know, the time of the year. If you get wind down there, if you've gotten a lot of rain down there in Florida, where the course might be softer, or is it going to play firmer or faster? So the weather always plays a factor in these Florida events this time of year. So you do have a lot of that. You have a lot of water, and then they've grown the rough out at least a little bit this year, because I think that they want to make it tougher. So they've grown it out to like 4 inches from about 3 the year before. So you get varying course conditions here. So I think that's why you see this is so erratic, you know, to what you were mentioning about Augusta National. The guys that play well at Augusta National seem to always play well there, and that's why it is, and Data Golf and a couple others make it the most predictive event. But this is about the least predictive, so this is one where you got to be probably a little bit careful this week with some of your exposure, and don't be afraid to take some bombs, because you have seen some guys, say for Scottie Scheffler, the last couple of years, and you've obviously seen class players, McIlroy, Justin Thomas, etc., but you've seen some guys a little bit down the board win this event. So maybe have one or two of those triple digit guys on your card this week.
Understanding that you will save the majority of this for Long Shots, the podcast, have you dabbled yet? Have you pulled the trigger on any bets thus far at the TPC?
Yeah, I am going to have Daniel Berger, and he ended up rallying over the weekend and then kind of fell back late to 15th. I am going to put Daniel Berger on the card, and I even said that on Long Shots a couple weeks ago. I'm going to bet him at every Florida event. So far, 2 for 2, didn't cash any tickets unless you played like some top 20s or whatnot, but I'm going to have him. I just think that this is a guy that he's finally healthy. He's finally back from that back issue that kept him out for a year and a half, and he's finally back to playing good golf and gaining on approach and driving the ball well. His ball striking is really his bread and butter, and I think he could go well this week. He's a guy with some experience, couple really good finishes here, so he's a down the board guy. Like, he's kind of in that mid range this week in terms of the price, but Daniel Berger certainly will be on my card this week.
All right, I'm going to make this mistake about 20 times this week, but again, it's the Players Championship. It used to be the Tournament Players Championship, and this is the PGA Tour's major, correct, Wes?
Yeah, it absolutely is. TPC Sawgrass, they used to have this in May. So now they've condensed the schedule and moved this up to March. So keep in mind when you're looking at some of this course history, it's only been back in March now for a few years. This used to be kind of the buffer in terms of a big event between the Masters in April and then the U.S. Open in June, Father's Day weekend. But now they've moved this up to March where they put all these Florida events together. So keep that in mind when you're kind of looking at a little bit of the history and some of the historical trends here.
Anything, I'll get to your conference tournament thoughts in terms of outrights in college basketball conference tournaments here after the break. Anything in terms of games tonight in college hoops? Very small slate before we explode tomorrow. Just 12 games total.
Yeah, it is nice to have a small slate considering what we had this weekend. A couple I'm looking at. I like Arkansas State over Troy here. Troy has been working that zone and slowing these teams down. I think they're going to have a hard time doing that, though, against Arkansas State. Coach there at A-State is a Nate Oates disciple, was on his staff there at Alabama. So they like to get up and go. So Arkansas State in the Sun Belt Championship over Troy. We'll probably have a couple more as I look at these numbers later this afternoon.
Yeah, Arkansas State was a 2-1 pre-flopper in the Sun Belt. Troy plus 350 for those who dabbled in there. Really, so far, no long shots coming through, at least in the 5 auto bids thus far. Can I interest you in Pepperdine at all? Did you bet Pepperdine before the West Coast?
Saw they're catching about 20 tonight.
Yeah.
Let's go, Waves.
What were they? They were like 350-1 before the tournament.
I don't know. You know me. Always root with Pepperdine with you.
It ain't beating St. Mary's. And then you'd have to probably beat Gonzaga after that. So, anyway, one can dream. Wes Reynolds, college hoops. The big tournaments begin tomorrow. His thoughts and bets next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Eliminate all the fake handicappers who are pitching fake records. Juice Reel is bringing transparency to the picks marketplace. All Juice Reel betting accounts are synced with the betting history directly from the sportsbooks, so no hiding those bad records. Juice Reel ranks every bettor based on their actual betting record. Sharp bettors can even get paid when others follow their picks. Check it out for yourself. Download the Juice Reel app. Use promo code LETSGO and receive $25 in free app currency that you can use to check out what the best handicappers on Juice Reel are betting. It's free in the App Store, Juice Reel, R-E-E-L. Download Juice Reel today. It says use promo code Let's Go. Does that have an apostrophe in it?
It sure does, and a space, according to our graphic.
A space in between the Let's and the Go?
Correct.
Well, we need a ruling on that. It's a lot of.
I'm going to go off what the graphic says. I trust our graphics team.
There you go. Yeah, Let's Go with an apostrophe. That's right. In the space between Let's and Go. Okay. Try it. If it doesn't work that way, try it a different way. Without the space, perhaps.
Try without the space, then without the apostrophe.
Give it a go.
Then just tweet angry things at me. That's fine.
Anything. That's right. Get back to us on how it works out. Okay. Wes Reynolds. Here's why I love Wes so much. Not only do we talk sports and all his bets, but of course, when we're off the air, and this is courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line with Wes Reynolds, VSiN golf writer, co-host of Long Shots, of course, and part of the glue that holds this whole operation together. He brought up something that, obviously, for those of us who pay attention to such things, is a sad day. Dwayne Wiggins from Tony, 64 years of age. He passes away. I just went to see. Remember when we were at the D? And I was like, I'm so excited. I'm going to the Tony concert this weekend. They were just at the Palms last year, and I also saw Sadiq by himself. But, Wes, that's tough for those who love Tony.
It is, and you know, I was having a conversation with a friend. I was thinking, other than maybe Boyz II Men, I don't know if there was any R&B group in the 1990s that had a better, more successful catalog than Tony did. Where Rafael Sadiq, of course, was the main voice of the group, but my favorite song actually by Tony was their hit called Whatever You Want, where Dwayne was actually a singing lead on that. And but very sad, saw the tweet that he was in hospice care, and you know, I went through that with my father. Once you go into hospice care, it is tough to come back from. So very sad news, not only Dwayne Wiggins, but of course the great Roberta Flack who passed last week. Chris Jasper, who you mentioned over the break to me from the Isley Brothers. Roy Ayers, everybody loves the sunshine.
Yeah,
so losing a lot of our legends, man. I mean, absolutely. I think these things do come in three. So very sad news. Have had and look, I'm a regular listener to 3T, Tony, but even more so over the last few days, they've been getting played on all the Quiet Storm shows as they usually are. So rest in peace to Dwayne Wiggins for sure.
Stephanie, who runs our schedules and does a whole bunch of things here at VSiN, just texted me, quote, just as sure as my name is Dwayne. She's all about it, too. That's really sad.
Call 632-2125, yes.
Yeah, that's sad. Wes, I love you that you appreciated that the that was a big loss for those who love R&B music this weekend. Two college hoops, man. Tomorrow, obviously there's, you know, we got 12 games tonight. We got a bunch of semis. We got a third round. We got third round games being played. We also have championships, as you mentioned, in the Sun Belt. But tomorrow is where it really begins, right? Tomorrow, the ACC, the Big 12, Conference USA, Metro Atlantic, SWAC, and WAC begin. Wednesday, the American Athletic, the Atlantic 10, the Big East, the Big 10, the Big West, the MEAC, the Mountain West, the SEC, of course, the biggest of them all in terms of competition this year. Conference tournament odds are all out there. Are there any going on right now that you still have a play on that you'd make today? Or how about the one starting tomorrow and on Wednesday?
Yeah, I still have Cleveland State in the horizon. May do a little bit of hedge off that, though, with Youngstown State tonight. But in terms of a lot of the big ones, and I'll just go rapid fire on some of these, like looking at the ACC, there's not a chance in hell I would bet Duke laying $3, even though I think that they are clearly the best team, because sometimes you get in the, I mean, they want to win, but it's like, we're going to be a number one seed anyway, no matter what. You know, we're not dropping down to the two line. You have the player of the year, the guy that's going to be the player of the year in Cooper Flagg. So it's like, that is not something that I would bet. I would clearly not lay a big favorite like that, even though the ACC, there is a big drop between not only them to the second and third team, Louisville and Clemson, but then there's a drop like North Carolina is like 30-1. So I'd be looking for somebody that's kind of in that middle range. You know, if you have to, I'm probably going to forego betting a future on this tournament, but Wake Forest maybe at 75-1 could certainly be worth a look there if you got to have some action. But yeah, I'm definitely not going to be laying Duke here.
This is, I mean, maybe I should have started with what you just mentioned, Wes, which is really the biggest sort of handicapping note for all of these. And I'm curious if you believe this has changed dramatically through the years, with the Big Dance obviously happening next week and some of these tournaments being, you know, the SEC is the biggest one that leaps to mind, right? It's a gauntlet. Is it worth the top seeds, right? The Auburns and the Alabamas of the world and the Floridas of the world. Is it worth them going through these gauntlets? Does it mean enough to them when they know that the real prize happens starting next week, and how that affects your handicapping? Has this become more of a thing, would you say, through the years?
Yeah, I think so, absolutely, because some of these teams, and now that we're getting into these conference tournaments and you're going to have the daily, hourly updates on the bracketologies from the Joe Lunardis and the Mike DeCourcy's at Big Ten Network and Jerry Palm at CBS, you know, last four in, first four out, some of these teams have to win these games. And game by game, they're going to be priced into the market. Now, the Auburns and the Alabamas obviously do not have to, so you look a little bit down the board and every year you probably get one, sometimes you get multiple, like you get an NC State last year, right? Who I didn't think had a chance in hell of going through the gauntlet there, because they had to play the first day and then ran it all the way to the end. And usually that doesn't happen. And ironically enough, they have that miracle run and then run it all the way to the Final Four. Kevin Keats gets fired 1 year later over the weekend. So that's what happens here. But yeah, you have to, I think, The value is going a little bit down the board. Like certain conferences, yes, you could go ahead and take the chalk, you know, and feel pretty safe about it. But I find that very hard to do in a conference tournament, unless it's like a one bid league like the Southland. And I'm not going to lay this price necessarily, but McNeese State, the clear best team, coached by Will Wade, who's probably going to get a big job here in the coaching carousel, maybe NC State, but -450, like, I'm not going to lay that, but I think they're going to win that conference. I would be shocked if they did not. So some of the chalky ones, if you are able to parlay these together, you can do that with the one bid leagues. It is very tough to do, though, with the big boy conferences.
Is there that, all that being said, is there a bet at any of these ones that are upcoming that you would be willing to make at a long enough number?
A couple of them, actually. In the Big East, I really like Xavier. And you can get them anywhere. I think 10 to 12 to 1 looks like the market consensus. They're going to be in the 5-4 game in the quarterfinals against Marquette. Xavier, by the way, is one of those last four in right now. If they win this game against Marquette, they're in. I think that that totally locks them into the field. And you get a Marquette team that might be a little bit on fumes. They just had a tough game against Connecticut. If you watch that game on Saturday, and I was on the unfortunate side with Marquette, they go to overtime, and then they're going to go to double overtime. A Marquette kid gets the rebound, doesn't hold on to the ball, kind of throws it away. St. John's gets the rebound and throws it in at the buzzer and beats them as St. John's continues their great run. But they've been lucky. They found ways. They've just been getting all the bounces their way. And I wonder, Marquette, if they're kind of ripe for the picking against Xavier. And then you get a St. John's team at the top of the bracket that I think is a little bit overpriced, even though I think Rick Pitino may win National Coach of the Year. And, you know, they're on Jimmy Fallon and they're getting all, you know, New York, not that they would ever overdo the hype on a sports team. New York's getting all aboard with St. John's here after they didn't care about him for several years because they weren't really winning. But I think Xavier is one you want to look at, you know, and they might be low teens or high teens, maybe around 10 to 1 in the Big East. And then Texas A&M, who I'm seeing at about 25 to 1, and the SEC is such a gauntlet. Texas A&M is one of those teams that they can grind you down and they can slow down a game and make it physical. They're the number one offensive rebounding team in the country. So Texas A&M might be one you want to look at the bottom of the bracket in the SEC. In the Big Ten, I would say Maryland. Ooh. I think and they're at the bottom. I think they're about 450 or 5 to 1 right now. You've got Michigan State, who's been rolling, but they haven't been hitting threes. I think that they've been getting kind of the breaks lately at the top. So Maryland there at the bottom of those top four in the Big Ten in Indianapolis would be the most attractive to me. Michigan has really taken a dip over the last month, especially offensively.
Sure have. Maryland, by the way, we're showing at +350, but shop around for these for sure. With the Big Ten Conference Tournament about to start. Wes, always a pleasure. Look forward to talking to you next week, and good luck with the TPC this week.
You bet, guys. Thanks for having me.
Wes Reynolds, everybody. At Wes Reynolds 1. That's the number one on the old Twitter machine. Ben Wilson with a rare numbers game appearance coming up on the other side. At least when he's not filling in for me, I should say rare appearance as a guest. We love Ben. Where's Ben been? College hoops, college baseball next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You're probably not great at betting every sport. Let rhythm help. The rhythm is going to get you. The best bettors use data to get ahead, so why not put AI to work for you this March? Rhythm is an app that helps you build personalized betting models, analyze trends, and make sharper picks for every game. Whether you're a seasoned bettor or looking for an edge on those 300-plus college teams, Rhythm has you covered with AI-backed projections and insights. Start your free 7-day trial today by downloading the app or visiting rhythm.com. Not your traditional rhythm spelling. This one is spelled RITHMM.com. RITHMM.com. Predict, play, dominate.
Dominate.
That was Kelly Bidlin's motto for a while. Predict, play, dominate. Then he gave it to Rhythm.
Played blackjack once at Red Rock. This is like 4 years ago with Isaiah Von Wrinkel. We were sitting there and we were playing with this, I'm going to say Russian dude, but Eastern European for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And every time he would hit a blackjack, he'd two fists slam down and go, domination. Domination. It was one of the greatest things I've ever seen in my life. At like 3 o'clock in the morning. Like, it was domination.
Did I tell you about the Eastern European Uber driver I had back in the day, or like several, I mean, it's at least several years ago on the strip? And you know the girls that have the feathers,
yeah,
the big feather things? He acted like it was the same two girls every couple blocks we drove. There they are again. Look at them.
The one we've been trying to figure out here ever since you and I started with started over at the D, I didn't realize that over out on Fremont, it's like each block, it's like a different, it's different, like what color they're wearing, like green or yellow or something. So I'm like, are these like kind of like a gang setup, like stay on your own side? I don't really know. I don't want to find out.
Wow. Yeah, just solving problems over here.
Yeah.
We get tweets. We got a couple tweets here. Brian M. Morianen. Bracketology drives me nuts. Friday at 1:30 Eastern, I loved Florida's path to the Final Four. And now I hate it. Well, we'll see what it ultimately is when the brackets come out this coming Sunday. Nemesis Enforcer. Got one for you. Guy behind me snatched John Cena's cap out of my hand from a row behind me at a WWE match. My son was Cena at the time.
Oh, man.
What does he mean by was Cena?
I don't know. Big fan?
I guess so. TFCC tearing wrist, no chance, turned around to say something. The guy was 6'4", maybe autistic, mid-20s. I use discretion.
Yeah, good call.
What precipated that? The Pagula that I caught Pagula's
tennis
ball?
Yeah, we were talking about that, yeah.
Speaking of tennis, speaking of college hoops and college baseball, ladies and gentlemen, after a long hiatus here from the show, I don't know where he's been, the great Ben Wilson joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow Ben. Ben's got a little janky Twitter handle. It's, what is it? Ben_Wilson_1? Is that what it is?
Nailed it.
It is. You got it. And Kelly, that story, I was with you guys that night, and I left at probably midnight, and I remember thinking to myself, I feel like something, like Kelly had that look in his eye, Gil, of basically like, this is going to be a while. And so I got the hint. I left. I had no idea. Had I known that said Eastern European would have played out that way, I would have definitely stayed. So it's now a top five regret in my life.
Ben, I was thinking while I was telling that story, I'm like, there's a really good chance Ben was with me that night, and I do not remember. This was years ago, though. Years ago, though, Gil.
Domination.
Domination.
Ben is looking a little bit like he's in witness protection there, a little bit of a dark, shadowy Ben Wilson on the show today. Ben, what's going on in your life? For those who want to get the Ben Wilson catch-up, what have you been doing? What are you doing play-by-play for these days?
Well, we have the WAC tournament this week. It's very smart on Kelly's end that we decided to do this on Monday. If you recall, Gil, last year I was on Friday of WAC Vegas, and our games usually go to about midnight. And that was when I think I was on like 4 hours of sleep. I was just groggy and trying to figure out what lines even existed for the day. But we've got WAC tournament starting Wednesday. Those will be our games on ESPN again. Which I'm really excited about. I've been doing a lot of college baseball play-by-play as well, which the conference season starts this weekend. So we've had a really good sample size of about 15 or so games for a lot of the top teams. I get to watch a lot of them at the Globe Life Park tournaments that happen out in Arlington at the Ranger Stadium. So it's been a really good early part of the season, getting to see a lot of these teams in person. And as a result, you know, like the futures board doesn't really move in college baseball the first month of the year. I mean, it's such a lightly bet sport this time of year. So there's still some good value out there. And of course, the you talk about value. I mean, these small conference tournaments like the WAC, which has unfortunately dwindled a little bit. We used to have 13 teams, then we had 11. Now we're down to 9. So the field isn't as deep this year. So I don't think there's really many long shots who have a chance in the WAC tournament, but there at least represent some interesting spots because you only have a few teams, I think, who really have a chance there.
This is what I love about Ben. Usually when announcers do a tournament, by the way, the glorious Orleans Arena is where the West Coast Conference gives way to the WAC after they finish up semifinals in the West Coast Conference tonight. But, you know, most announcers, when they do an event, right, they'll be like, well, I can't give an opinion or a bet on this because I'm doing the broadcast. Not Ben Wilson. Do you like someone in the WAC, Ben, just, you know, between us?
Well, look, what's interesting, odds here, Grand Canyon is the favorite. But by all accounts, they've had a really disappointing season. Remember, Grand Canyon was the 12 seed. They just rolled through the WAC last year. They won a game. They pushed Alabama. They were actually really tight with an Alabama team that went to the Final Four last year, and they brought basically everybody back. And for whatever reason, they've had guys banged up. Their stud, Tyon Grant Foster, has been injured. They just have not had the same sort of cohesion and chemistry this year, even though on paper, like, Grand Canyon should have won this league going away easily. They're not even the one seed. They're the two seed. Grant Foster's missed the last five games with injury. I think he will play. But they're plus 150 simply because of the name pedigree. And they're barely in the KenPom top 100. They've been a really bad offense most of the year. If I was betting this, I mean, the big story in that conference is Utah Valley, the Orleans, the venerable Orleans Arena that we just love, we love and
we
hold it so dear to our hearts. Yes, it has been a house of horrors for Utah Valley. The last three times they've been there, they've all lost, twice in overtime. Once they blew a 23-point lead against Southern Utah that lost that game by one. So it's been a situation where they've had so many good teams that have gone in there and completely fell apart when the moment was big. However, they're the number one seed. They have a pretty straightforward draw on that top side of it. So, like, if it was me, I mean, you're getting plus 240 on a team who's like 9-1 in two possession games this year. They've won eight straight. There's a really good chance you're at the very least going to be in the final, and that will be a tightly lined game against Grand Canyon. So if nothing else, that's a way you could play this if you wanted. Look to get a team who's not the favorite at a good plus money number and potentially be able to monetize once we get to the championship game.
There you go. Utah Valley plus 240. Only Grand Canyon, the aforementioned Grand Canyon team, plus 130, shorter than Utah Valley. Seattle Cal Baptist finishing out the single-digit shots in the WAC at the Orleans. And by the way, may I recommend the burrito bowls at the Orleans, Kelly?
Yeah. You know what? You have before. Yeah. Is there an In-N-Out in there, too?
I don't know about that.
Okay, here's the big story. So there's a TGI Fridays.
That's
which
what there is.
For our ESPN crew, that is the, the post-game, the wind-down spot. And TGI Fridays filed for bankruptcy nationally, which was news to me until our sideline reporter, Kendra Sheehan, broke the most important news of this tournament to me privately, which was TGI Fridays at the Orleans has now closed. So I don't know what the play is now. And we might have to think about, alternative arrangements here, because this is some tough news to stomach.
You know what that problem was with that business? They emphasized Fridays too much. they neglected the other days of the week.
I hate that you even got me to laugh at that. Watch out, Chili's. Here comes Chili's for market domination.
You did mention that you like that there's some value in college baseball futures. What, pray tell, do you like here?
Yeah, Clemson is. I checked last night to see if the books had caught on. They're 30-1. I thought before their series against South Carolina, which is a big rivalry non-conference series, that was kind of the time to bet them. They sweep South Carolina, an SEC team. They're 15-1. They've lost one game all year. They have Aiden Kanak, who's one of a really good ace, who's actually struggled so far this year, but is going to be a very highly touted pitcher. And their best hitter, Cam Cannarell, is probably a first-round draft pick in the big leagues next year. He's not really even hitting. He's sub-290, only one homer, and yet they are just mashing teams right now. I saw them in person in Arlington. They looked the part. And in a year like this where, look, LSU and Tennessee seem like a clear 1-2, but A&M, North Carolina, Arkansas, Virginia have all had pretty big issues in different ways in the non-con. I kind of feel like Tennessee is going to be the team that's, there at the, in the College World Series championship at the end, but there's going to be some sort of longer shot that has the ability to get into the Final Eight. Clemson to me is that team right now. And it seems weird that the books still aren't giving them much respect. I saw them down to, they're 26-1 on that graphic, but you can find them 30-1 or longer elsewhere.
Was that one of Matt Grissom's teams when he was on here? Clemson? I think it was, wasn't it?
I want to say yes, but that could have been last year too.
Oh, no, he
I know. I invited Matt, and he was with me in Globe Life. We were in the broadcast booth together. It was a jolly old time.
Oh man, Ben, that's on my bucket list, and I want to be on live air with you in the broadcast booth, and I could just say ridiculous things. Please,
that would be amazing.
Make it happen.
I would love that.
Ben Wilson, everybody. Ben, great to see you, man.
You too.
Ben Wilson, he'll be the most famous guy out of here. I'm telling you. Coming back, Dr. Bob next.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on A Numbers Game. I was going to launch into the G-Bank best bets, but Savannah's going to get mad at me. I just want to read these two tweets that came in about Ben. Ben was like, this Brian M., great to see Ben Wilson's hiatus has ended after his Numbers Game suspension for the slander of Iga Świątek.
Well done.
So
well
true. Done. Also, Kelly in the booth with Ben speaking only in a Russian accent after some larceny bourbon is now on my bucket list to see it here. And then Ben Handorf, I'm so glad someone tweeted in about this. Did you catch Ben's dog in the background?
Like stoically gazing out the window.
Okay, so Ben Handorf
says about life.
He says, I thought Ben Wilson may have gotten into taxidermy as the dog in the background looked too lifelike, but then it moved its head and looked at the camera. You must commend Benny on his dog training acumen. What a good dog. Ben Handorf, that is. I thought the same thing. At first, I was like, is that dog real?
Yeah.
And like, as Ben was talking, I got distracted. I'm like, oh no, it's clearly not a real dog. Because it's so still.
Yeah, I don't want to encourage guests about this, but yeah. What the most well-behaved animal we've had on for a guest spot, yes.
Paul Spohr's dog's vomits on air, and
yeah, that Ben's, dog was just chilling.
Ben's just chilling.
Also, what was Ben wearing, like a cashmere hoodie or something? It looked very comfortable.
Ben Wilson, man.
I'm going to text him right now, actually.
Got life beat, that kid.
Yeah.
Let's get our G-Bank best bets out of the way so we can talk to Dr. Bob, the G-Bank best bets of the day, always from G-Bank, the official bank of VSiN. I am on two bets after getting off the schneid yesterday. Four really bad days at Indian Wells. But winning day yesterday with the Yusuke Watanuki cashing as plus 193 against Francis Tiafoe last night. Only two today, and they're both favorites. Now, that's a rare sort of thing. We're usually on dogs. Daria Kasatkina, minus 140 versus Ludmila Samsonova, and Grigor Dimitrov, your boy Grigor.
Grigor.
Minus 121 over Gael Monfils.
Domination.
Those are the two tennis plays over there at Indian Wells. You, sir.
Yeah, one for me, small play right now on the Thunder, 8.5. Wanted to get in front of this number. Thought it would move a little bit more, actually, but it is out to 9. Like Carl said earlier, though, small right now. Want to see where these injury reports go for both the Denver and the OKC side. Chet could certainly show up. I wouldn't be surprised if Jokic actually misses after whatever the elbow he was dealing with yesterday during that game. It looked bad.
Carl Sack. Bob knows Carl Sack. Carl Sack gave us a treat this morning. He said Knicks minus 2.5, and then he turned right around and gave it out to clients right afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? Knicks minus 2.5. It's already up to 3. Wes Reynolds, college hoops. He's on Arkansas State tonight. Arkansas State is his play in terms of basketball games tonight. And then in terms of conference tournaments, Xavier to win the Big East at plus 850. A&M to win the SEC tournament at 25-1, thinking that the teams at the top might not be as incentivized. And then Maryland, the University of Maryland, the Terps to win the Big Ten. Plus 350. I'll never get used to Maryland being in the Big Ten. And then Ben Wilson, Clemson, 26-1 to win the College World Series. We did check. Matt Grissom loved Clemson before the season at 30-1 to win the College World Series. Best bets brought to you by G-Bank, the official bank of VSiN, where we give all our best bets every show, every day. At the end, recapping, G-Bank upping the ante with up to a $750 bonus for new G-Bank Visa Signature Card customers. First new customers who spend $1,000 on eligible purchases within 90 days from account opening receive a $250 bonus. In addition, if you spend $50,000 on gaming and sports app loads within the 30 days of account opening, you'll receive another $500 bonus. That's potentially a $750 bonus. Apply now at VSiN.com/G-Bank. That's VSiN.com/G-Bank. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions apply. Which brings us to a pioneer in the industry. His name is Bob Stoll. You may know him as Dr. Bob. Comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He joins us now from his lair outside of Denver, Colorado. How you doing, Bob?
Doing all right. I'm just plugging along, getting excited for March Madness.
We were talking off air about overtime luck and how you haven't had any this year. What's your record?
So I've had 22 games that have been determined due to overtime. So games that would have been 16-6 had they been graded at the end of regulation, like underdogs or unders or whatever, that lose in overtime. 6-15-1 on games decided due to overtime instead of 16-6 in those games had they been graded at the end of regulation. Overtime, I'm betting as many favorites as dogs and overs as unders. Those should be about equal overtime luck, but it's just been – I'm having okay. I'm, you know, I released a lot of plays, so it's not crushing, I'm 807, 687, and 13. That's 1,500 plays. I'm doing okay, but it would be better if I had some overtime. Neutral overtime luck would be nice, yeah. But that happened.
I mean, obviously you can get overtime in pro and college football and in pro basketball, but it's much more common in college hoops with the lower scoring, and it is the one sport where there is this giant minefield that exists with a bet that you have to avoid. What was your – I love your idea, though. What was your sportsbook innovation that you would like to see?
Yeah, I thought it would be interesting if a sportsbook offered grading the play at the end of regulation or giving your money back if you lost a bet because of overtime. Some kind of promotion like that would – I think people would eat that up.
I think they would, actually. Doing their job for them, doing a little marketing. Bob Stoll doing a little marketing for them. All right, this is – now, obviously, Bob – all year, I know that is your time of year, but there are specific times of year that I think of you even more so, which is, you know, we used to do it in preseason football. You obviously had sets and subsets that were great trends. We're not a trend show, but sometimes the trends are just overwhelming and they make intuitive sense. Conference basketball, college basketball conference weeks are the other time of year that I think of you. Can you give us some insight into why you have been so successful and why you love it so much?
Yeah, you know, and my stuff's model-driven. I do some, you know, situational technical analysis that I layer on top, and that's proven to keep me off of bets, you know, that ultimately, like, model bets where the situation's the other way. I might lay off those, and those have been just around 50% over time, so it's been a good thing to layer on top of the models. But during the conference tournaments, I have relied on the trends in conference tournaments more so, and I actually will bet games based on some of these patterns that I've uncovered, and some of them are ridiculous, like 650 wins and 487 losses against the spread, you know, for 1,000 plus games where you're hitting 62% or 1,000 plus games, and every single year it just churns out a profit. I mean, I have some, you know, situations or angles like that, you know, it'd be silly not to play those. But I've got a few that I can talk about that are kind of easy to understand if you want to go over those.
Please, let's do so.
And the first one is more, it's not really actionable, but it's more cautionary. You hear people all the time like, oh, it's tough to beat a team three times in a season. You know, people think, oh, yeah, double revenge, that's got to be good. Well, double revenge is not good. It's just all teams that have double revenge in the conference tournament are 48% against the number, thousands and thousands of bets. So it is not generally good to play double revenge. And if the team that's lost twice already to the opponent hasn't had at least 3 days off between games to prepare, then it drops to 46% against the spread for the double revenging team. That's not something I'd bet like, oh, you know, bet against the double revenging team. But it's something, if you think it's a good bet because they have double revenge, think again, it's not. So it's more one of those things like just keep, you know, just don't bet a game because the team's got double revenge. It has to be other reasons because generally double revenge is a contrary thing. Now, there are types of revenge that do work. One of them is what I call immediate revenge. The teams just both played each other, and now they're playing each other in their first conference tournament games. Immediate revenge on neutral courts is 112, 77, and 5 against the spread. I mean, it's not, like I said, I'm not going to make a bet based purely on that. It gets a little bit better if you exclude betting on the team that has a conference win percentage of under 200. Then it becomes 101 and 62 against the spread. It's just something I'd look at. I maybe wouldn't bet against the team in that situation if they have immediate revenge and have won more than 20% of the conference game. So it's just something to look at. The other one that actually does work, and I do bet these sometimes depending on the subsets of these angles, single revenge. Like if they only played once and the favorite of two or more was single revenge, 240, 165, and 10. That's 59.3% over 400 games. Now, that one is something I will start to look at favorites of two or more with single revenge. It gets really good if the opponent has a season win percentage of less than 700, so mediocre to bad teams. Then it's 207, 122, and 9. Now, that is something that's worth looking into. So, yeah, so if my model leans a little bit with that team and they've got that single revenge favorite of two or more versus a sub-700 team, those are ones I will bet if I have a little bit of a fair line or a little bit of an edge in my model. Those are what I'll look at. We have some more if you want to keep going.
Well, I'll tell you what, since we're running into a wall on these, and some of these are going to apply to certain games that begin tomorrow,
yeah,
would you say? All right, so I'm going to do the rare thing where I'm going to ask you I'm going to ask you on air to come back tomorrow because I want you to be able to flesh these out for folks. But that's a good sort of whetting of the appetite for folks because these will the next ones will apply to games that actually begin tomorrow. And so I want you to be able to flesh.
What's that? Yeah, we have a few more we can go over tomorrow and probably some will apply. But one today if you want to.
Yeah.
I took Idaho apply. It wasn't necessarily a situational bet, it was a model bet. On Idaho plus the points against Portland State. I gave it out a +5. It's now +4.5. And I make Portland State a 2-point favorite here. It's just a situation where they've been lucky in 3-point defense, allowing 31.6% 3-pointers is random. This coach has been 293rd or worse in 3-point defense every season he's been there. And suddenly they have, you know, allowing 31.6% 3-pointers, even though they're mediocre defensively in every other way. So I think Portland State's an overrated team, so I took Idaho plus the points today.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it. Money Moves next with Stormy and Matt. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.